This week on Hands-On Photography, we're going to take a look at Instagram filters. No, I'm teasing, not Instagram filters. We're going to talk about filters inside of Lightroom, inside of Photoshop, and how you can use them to make your images really, really pop. Check it out. Hands-On Photography is brought to you from LastPass Studios. Using the same password everywhere is a security nightmare waiting to happen. LastPass easily creates unique passwords for every site. Visit lastpass.com/twit.
This is Twit.
This episode of Hands-On Photography is brought to you by ExpressVPN. Protect your online privacy with one click. Yes, it's that easy. For 3 extra months free with a 1-year package, go to expressvpn.com/hop. Hey, what's going on, everybody? I'm Ant Pruitt. This is Hands-On Photography here on twit.tv. Hope y'all are doing well. I'm unbelievable as always. Another Thursday where we sit down and chit-chat about different tips and tricks that's going to help make you a better photographer and a better post-processor and all of that good stuff with your camera and your smartphone and mirrorless, all of those wonderful tools. I really do appreciate y'all hanging out with me each and every week. And while you're here, go ahead and hit the subscribe button in your favorite podcatcher of choice, whether it's on Overcast or Spotify or Apple Podcasts. Makes me no mind. Just hit the subscribe button and be sure to hit the share button and share it on out to other people that may be interested in this awesome podcast that we're doing here at Twit. Just go to twit.tv/hop and you'll see all of the different subscription options over there. All right. So now we got all the business out of the way. Let's go ahead and get started on this week's episode. If this is your first time checking out this show, welcome. But what I like to do is build upon everything that we've discussed in previous episodes. Sometimes you're going to see just a snippet or a taste of what we talked about on the previous week. Sometimes it's really going to just slap you in the face and like, oh, that's why we're doing that. You know what I'm saying? So that's sort of going to be the path that we take today, because we're going to take a look at Lightroom and we're also going to take a look at Photoshop, but it's going to be so simple and so easy. Okay. First, let's hop into Lightroom. We're going to talk about the world of filters. Now, if you're used to scrolling through Instagram and putting your images on Instagram, you'll know that Instagram gives you little filters to help make your phone photos just pop a little bit or look a little bit better. What a lot of people don't realize, Lightroom has filters as well. So does Photoshop, but they're not quite the same. So let's go ahead and open up Lightroom here and I'll show you my screen. So right now we're taking a look at an image that I shot in Vegas at one of my most favorite spots. That is the old Vegas down there next to the Golden Nugget and stuff. What's that called? Fremont Street. Yeah, Fremont Street. And I love shooting this area because of the different varying lights and patterns that it always has down there and all of the people. It's just a great spot for street photography. And in the past, you know, in the previous episodes, we talked about, you know, going over here and changing exposure and so forth and contrast and all of that good stuff. And all of that is, it still applies here, but every now and then you may want to give it just a different flavor and just apply a filter. And if you look right here under the profiles menu inside of Lightroom, there's a couple squares. Just click on that. Okay. And when you click on it, you have a bunch of different options in there and you can download different profiles from all over the internet. But a lot of these profiles come already inside of Lightroom for you to play around with. And it even has a couple sections to actually match up to whatever camera you're using too, because it's using Adobe Sensei AI. So if you just hover your mouse over, you'll notice that it will change the appearance of your image. Just from, you know, giving you a little bit of a preview. Like, this is a monochrome. Of course, I don't want to do monochrome right now because that doesn't look good on a podcast at the moment. But it's, let me see. Let me go down to some of my favorite ones, like this artistic section here. Just hit the drop down box. I usually like playing around with artistic number 4 because that's typically the style and tone that I like to shoot in and I like to post process in. So if I were to click on that, it's going to apply it to my image. And if I just go up here to the top, I can hit close and it'll take me right back to the same panel that we're used to working with in the develop module. And I can go through and adjust my highlights and change the exposure a little bit, bring up the shadows some, just a touch, add a little more contrast, because adding that contrast is really going to allow me to separate the colors in the scene and make everything stand out. You know, so just like you normally would, but that filter, you can either take it as is or use it as a starting point. Okay, so now let's say I didn't want to take that particular route. I'm just going to reset this image all the way back to when I brought it in. But I'm going to go back and add that filter again. So we'll go down to Artistic 4. Just click one time on it like that. And let's say that I think I want to add a little bit more oomph, a little bit more power to this filter. Fortunately, you have this little amount slider, and you can increase the intensity just by pushing that slider up like so. And that's not necessarily boosting the saturation. To a degree it is, but it's doing a little bit more from a vibrant standpoint and a luminant standpoint, and it's really pushing that image out. So if I close it now and do a before and after, whoops, that's not it. There we go. You'll see this has a little bit more life and a whole different color tone, where the one on the left, the before, has more of a green tint, and it's a little bit flat, not a lot of contrast, not a lot of pop to it. Okay, and if I wanted to proceed again, I can just keep going through and adjusting different settings, shadows, blacks, highlights, pull that down, all that good stuff, just like we would any other photo. So now that's just using filters inside of Lightroom. Photoshop has some filters as well, but it's not quite the same as what you would see here inside of Lightroom. Photoshop has filters where it will totally change your image. For example, you can have blur filters, you can have sharpening filters, you can have noise filters, you can have all filters inside of Photoshop. So more is more like effects on your image. Okay, so let's go ahead and open up Photoshop, and I'll show you a couple of examples here. All right, so I have my image here, and I have it on a layer by itself. And remember, we like to work non-destructively, so we work with multiple layers. That way, just in case we screw up something royally, we always have our original image down there safe and sound, where we can just revert back to it if we need to. So now, with that additional layer highlighted here, look up at the top, and there's a filter menu. Okay? So I click on that. And there's a ton of different filters in here, even down to having a filter gallery. It's not highlighted at the moment, but I could show you that momentarily. But there's a lot of different options in here. And the filters are, like I said, blurs and distortion and noise. It's just a lot of different effects. So in this instance, let's give this a, let's say a blur. Okay. And we can do a motion blur. That's not necessarily the best idea, but I just want to let you see how this would actually work. And all of the filters come with a lot of different parameters that you can play around with. For example, with this being motion, you can push this distance up to intensify it a little bit more. And if you have a nice graphics card on your computer, you can keep this preview option ticked and be able to see what's happening. And even if I want to change the angle of it like so, I just rotate this wheel. And you'll see it gives it a different effect and a whole different blur. It's still a motion blur, but it's just a slightly different effect there. And when you're done, you just click OK. Boom, you got it. I don't necessarily recommend using filters in that type of workflow, so I'm going to undo that. I always recommend using what they call smart filters, or smart objects is what it's called. So you can either right click on your layer and select convert to smart objects, or go back to that filter menu and say convert to smart filters. And it's just going to say, hey, now, you know, you're really trying to turn this into a smart object. Tell it, yes, I know what I'm doing. And when you click OK, it'll think, and it's going to change the icon on your layer, so you know that you're working with a smart object. Notice it has this little extra icon on the bottom right corner of it. Okay. What does that mean? This means that now that I want to go in and apply some additional filters to it, I'm not stuck with it being locked down. If I want to go back and add that motion blur or what have you. Set it to 88 and I had it at this particular angle, like -1. Click OK. And I look at it and I say, I don't like that. I need to back off on the motion blur a little bit. Previously, we didn't have any of these additional options showing up on the layer. But since it is a smart object, we get all of these additional smart filter options available. So all I have to do is essentially just double click on it and it opens the dialog back up for me. So that way I could go back and just readjust, turn it down just a little bit and hit OK. And I'm good to go. And you can do this on all of your layers, whatever filter that you want to work with. I highly recommend using the smart object or the smart filters way of working with it, because it really does give you a little bit more flexibility. Even if you want to do what's called the camera raw filter, which is such a weird name to me. Let me show you camera raw filter. So I'll click on that. It's not even a filter at all. It opens up a whole new application called Adobe Camera Raw, which is essentially Lightroom when you look at it. Notice you have all of your sliders just like you do in Lightroom. Exposure, contrast, and a bunch of different options at the top where you can change your tone curve, go into noise reduction. It's a lot of different tools in here, yet it's called a filter in Photoshop. So keep that in mind. This is another option available to you while working in Photoshop. If you're used to working inside of Lightroom, the camera raw filter is something that you can really just dive back into to give yourself a little bit more of a comfort level and manipulate your images. So I'm just going to, let's say we'll just crank the exposure a little bit just for kicks and giggles. Click OK. And it takes us back to the image and it applies that additional exposure to the image. Now go back to the layer and you'll notice we have our same options to make any adjustments if we need to, because it's a smart object. We still can go in and update the motion blur if we want to, or if we want to update the camera raw settings, we can just double click on it and it's going to open up the camera raw option one more time. And it still kept my previous value here at that +60 in the exposure. And if I wanted to change it something else, I can. If I want to increase it or whatever, I can, and then just hit OK. It will apply it just as a filter and put it right back on the image. Okay, so now that is working with filters inside of Lightroom versus working in filters inside of Photoshop. Two different aspects with similar names. I never quite understood why that was mentioned the way that it was, but it takes some time to get yourself used to it and practicing with it, but you can find different use cases and apply these to whatever image that you're working with. Just take your time and go through each one of those filter menus to see what works best for you. Sometimes you don't necessarily have to go heavy-handed on the filter. Sometimes just a little bit of a 10% increase makes a world of a difference. So just play around, depending upon your image, depending upon your composition. Lots of fun. And then actually, before we get out of here, we're going to apply some of this stuff to some of the feedback that you all have sent to me. But before we get into that, we're going to take a few minutes to thank this week's sponsor. This episode of Hands-On Photography is brought to you by ExpressVPN. ExpressVPN doesn't log your data. Many free VPNs make money by selling your data. They develop a technology called Trusted Server that makes it impossible for their servers to log any of your info. They're super fast, too. Protect yourself with the VPN that I use and trust. Use my link, expressvpn.com/hop today, and get an extra 3 months free on a 1-year package. That's expressvpn.com/hop. Visit expressvpn.com/hop to learn more. We thank ExpressVPN for their support. All right. So now let's go ahead and get into a little bit of feedback. I spent some time in my inbox again, and it's still just so heartwarming to see the messages that comes in. And right now I want to show a message from Dr. Jim Dobson. Let's see here. I'm going to pull up that email real quick, Mr. Victor. Let's see. Yeah, Dr. Jim Dotson. He says, first off, Your show is wonderful in big old caps, man. That's great. I really appreciate that. And your explanations have helped him out so much. And heck, he's 10 times a better photographer since he's been listening to the show. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. So now he sent the picture and he was curious about it because his daughter has some makeup on and he believes she has a little bit too much makeup on her eyes in this particular image. And I get where he's coming from. Some people are going to say that's just fine, but hey, we don't know what the judgment is as far as what was needed with his particular shoot or product for his particular shoot or project at hand. So I wanted to pull this up and show that, you know, we talked about selective adjustments, because when you first look at the image and you see the bold, vibrant blue of her eyes, you're thinking, okay, maybe I need to just take down saturation. You don't want to take down saturation in all of the image. Just use the selective adjustment options that we talked about previously. And you can do this inside of Lightroom. You can do this inside of Photoshop. You can even do it on your mobile phone, which is what I'm going to do. I'm going to show this on my phone. Okay, so now we have this image here, and there's a couple ways to go about it. Inside of Lightroom, here in the bottom left corner, there's that selective button. So if you tap on that, it's going to allow you to create a couple different adjustment brushes, just like we would in the classic Lightroom. And I'm just going to click on this first little circle that has a little brush. And then I have a couple different options to change the size of the brush. If I hold down on that first option and just raise my finger up, notice the brush gets larger. And on the conversely, it goes smaller when I drag down. Okay, so we want to make this one about 14. That's fine. And you can also change the flow and the opacity of it. So let's do it this way. There we go. So we got the feathering, and we also had the flow and opacity. Now, remember I said you don't necessarily want to have a super high flow because it gives you a little bit more control. In this instance, I'm going to keep it at right about 66%, and we're going to go from there. So now I'm going to just tap on the screen to mark where I want to start working on my adjustment brush. And then the key is to zoom in as close as you can, like so, just by doing the whole pinch to zoom options that you're used to doing on modern smartphones today. And then I'm just going to brush right along the eyes with my fingers, just like that. And you don't necessarily have to be perfect because you have that feathering around the edge of the brush. So the edge of the brush is a soft edge, so it's not going to look as jarring and it'll look a little bit more gradual. Now you notice that it's red when I did that. That could be a little bit distracting for some people. I use it as a guide to know what I've been working with. But if you ever want to turn it off, just tap on that little anchor point that we dropped and it'll turn it off for you. And if you want to see it again, just tap on it again and it'll bring it back. So now let's go ahead and jump into the color option at the bottom of the screen. And we're just going to take that saturation slider and just drag it down a little bit. And we should see the color go away. Right about there looks good. I don't want to take it all the way out, but something like that looks pretty good. And if you ever want to just check your work inside of Lightroom, you can just hold down on the image and it'll show the before. Well, it's supposed to. There we go. There we go. So you hold down and you get the before. And then when you let go, hopefully you'll notice the difference in that level of blue saturation. And it's gone away a little bit. I think I could do it a little bit more, so I'm going to go back into that selective adjustment, tap on that little brush again. And this time, I'm going to brush over it a little bit more and try to give it a little bit more flow, like so. And just brush over it some more, like that. And see, by doing that, I totally wiped out the color. But that's okay, because that means I can use the slider and bring it back based on the feel. You know what I mean? So I'm going to hit the color option again and hit that saturation slider. Just drag it up until it looks right. Okay, right about there should do it. Because now that's brought it back, but it's not at 100% power, if you will. So now if I hit OK, hold down on the image, I get the before and I get the after. Big difference, right? And even zoom out, I get the before, look at the eye, and I let go and I get the after. Okay. So Dr. Jim, that is one thing that you could do with this image, is just use the selective adjustment options. Do this inside of Lightroom, do this inside of, you can even do it inside of Snapseed. Snapseed has a adjustment brush as well, where it allows you to change the exposure, it allows you to change the highlights, and it allows you to change the saturation. You just tap on it the same way I did inside of Lightroom and just make your brush motion as you see fit. And then you can just move the slider up and down, you know, to your liking to work out with that particular shot. Okay. Hope that helped you out. I appreciate you sending that photo in. Now let's take a look at this last image here. This one comes from, I don't know his or her name, but it says Crimson Chin in our Twit forums. So that's twit.community in your browser. If you haven't joined our forums, go ahead and do that right now, please. And thank you. But he sent in this image into the Twit forums and basically said, you know what? What would you do with this image? You know, just let me know your thoughts on it. I'm just curious. He was very candid about it. And what I love about this thread is everybody just jumped in and said, you know what? I would do this. I would do that. And not one person in the community said, this is a horrible photo. You should have done this. You should have done that. It was a very, very nice, warming and open community, and just helpful, offering solid information and solid tips and tricks. So now I'm going to play my take on it. If you go back and read the thread, you'll notice most people were initially saying the crop. That's the big thing. So we're going to hop into Lightroom and we'll take a look at this image real quick. All right. So inside of Lightroom, I'm going to go ahead and do a crop because it's just too wide. Our subject are the people here and the dogs. So let's just crop it to where they're still the subject. Okay. Because none of this on the sides, none of this on the bottom, or really add into the image. I think something along this line would work. I'm still debating the trees in the background on the beach, but we'll try it for now. So we hit that, and then I want to go in and check our horizon line because it's slightly off. Let's go ahead and fix that. Right about there. Much better. So now, let's go ahead and bring out some details of this image. It's a little bit blown out, so I'm going to tackle the highlights. The histogram says it's not, but I'm going to take the highlights and bring it down just a touch, just to see. And nope, the highlights were just fine. Notice it didn't change much. Okay, so that's an instance where your histogram is not lying to you. So now I'm going to take that filter that we've talked about in the past called the graduated filter. I'm going to click on that. And I'm just going to drag it down over the image like so. And then I will take the highlights. Now let's go back to exposure. We'll go to exposure and we're going to crank the exposure down just a touch here, right about there. And we'll bring the shadows up just a little bit because that's only affecting this first third or so of the image, something like that. And then we can turn that off. And then we'll go back to work on the rest of the sliders here. Let's give it a little clarity, push the shadows up so we can have a little bit more fill light on the dogs and the lady here. Because what happens with the shadows, if it's turned off, it really darkens it up. The best way I can describe using the shadow meter is if you had someone standing with a flash bulb that you would have on your camera, that flash right in front of your camera and right in front of your subject fills in light on the subject. It doesn't necessarily fill around the subject. It'll fill in right here on the subject. So use that shadow slider to give you that bit of a fill light right there. So now you notice we can even see even more color on the dog's face right there just by pulling up the shadows. Okay. We'll give it a little more texture and clarity. And then we're going to take some dehaze and take the dehaze out. Now doing that brought in a lot more detail instantly. Okay. I'm going to push the shadows up just a little bit more. Push the blacks up just a little bit more. And we're good to go there. Okay. But it still looks a little bit flat to me. I could play around and give it a lot more saturation, but I don't think that's going to give it the life. So if I crank it up, it really didn't do anything for me. So we'll push up the vibrance a little bit to give it a little more vibrance overall, like that. So that helps some. So it still looks a little bit flat to me. So we're going to do another graduated filter. And instead of doing it from the top down, let's do it from the bottom up, like that. Okay. And I'm going to go back to the shadows and push those shadows up. All the way up. So now we have a lot more life around the subject here. These dogs and their reflection. That's great. It's just a nice looking story here. Okay. So we'll turn that off. And hey, we're good to go there. But I want to get a little bit crazy with it. Finish this one up in Photoshop. It's because I have an idea with our filters. So we'll say edit in Photoshop with the copies. And Photoshop's going to open. There it is, way over there. I don't know why it's way over there. Why did it just move? That's so bizarre. All right, so zoom out a little bit. Don't need to be that close. We're going to make an additional layer as we always do. And what I'd like to do is give this a little bit of a dramatic filter. So I'm going to take my Wacom tablet, like I always do, and I'm going to throw this mouse away over there. And I'm just going to draw a little selection around the clouds here. So I'm going to draw a little bit of a selection around these clouds. It'll be rough. So I just do like this. Like that. It'll be rough. Something like that. Okay. So now I'm telling Photoshop I only want to work with these clouds here, but I want to take the selection and make sure that it's nice and feathered so it's not a rough edge. So I'll bump it up to maybe 10 pixels. Click OK. And then I will press Control J to duplicate that layer. Uh-oh, what happened there? There it goes. Control J. There. So now it duplicated the layer, but it only touched the selected clouds that we wanted. Okay, so now we're just going to play around with those clouds, and I'm going to apply a filter. I'm going to apply a radial filter, but of course, let's work non-destructively and use smart objects, like so. Okay, go back to our filter. We'll go to blur. And I'm going to try a radial blur. Let's do that. Now, if you look at this little example of your blur, you got a couple types. You have a spin blur and you have a zoom blur. I'm thinking a zoom blur. So I'm going to click zoom like that. And notice the amount is only set to 10. If I crank it up, watch what happens to the little example that we have. See that? Sort of starts to look like you're jumping into light speed. Make sense? So we got that. We'll push it to right about there. And when I'm trying it out, I like to set it to good because putting it on best is really, really CPU intensive. So I put it on good while I'm trying it out. And then when I got it finalized, I'll go back and set it to best. The beauty of this filter is even though I told it, you know, I want it to be a zoom and it's got that whole, you know, bullseye effect. If I want it to move around, I can, because sometimes you don't have a perfect, you know, centered image or a perfect centered composition. And in this image, we don't. The center that I want should be right about here. So we'll click OK now. And then that zoomed it out. Now, that's close. So we're going to go back and fix it. It's not right. Let's put it right about there. And we don't need it to be that harsh. So we can back off some. Getting there. Back off a little bit more. There we go. See, I like that. That's a little bit more dramatic. It's a little bit more out there. And the whole idea of me doing it that way is if you look at this frame, I'll zoom out a little bit. If you look at this frame, notice how she's in the center of it, but you have the shoreline and you have where the tide was. It's zooming in and just sort of bullseyeing in towards her. And I like to take the clouds and do the same thing with the clouds. Again, just sort of forcing the viewer's eyes to look, boom, right there. That's where I want you to go. And if I wanted to do even more, I could, you know, add some additional color grade into this. I won't get into all of that. But it's just I wanted to be able to show you that you can take that filter and play around with it as a smart object until you get it just right. So I'm going to put it to best now. Knock it down just a touch more, and it should give us a very nice effect here. All right, so that's done. And as always, we have our layer mask if we need to blend in things a little bit better. Layer mask, we talked about that before. I believe I was wearing a green mask on that episode. And we can just brush in the edges to make it blend just a little bit better, like that. Okay, and that's just playing around with filters inside of Photoshop versus inside of Lightroom, just to give a slightly different effect to this image. Cool. Sweet. So Mr. Crimson Chin or Miss Crimson Chin, I'm not sure, because you can't tell from the handles inside of our Twit community. That's what I would have done with your image. I think that looks pretty good. Again, I would do a little more color grading, but I'm not going to get into all of that just for the sake of time. But that's the route I would have taken, just to sort of play around with the focal point of the image, as well as giving a little bit more fill light to bring out detail of these beautiful, lovely dogs that you have there. Okay. What do you think, Mr. Victor? Is that the route you would have gone?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I do like a, the smart using smart objects that way is new to me. So I thank you for that. I'm adding that to my, toolkit.
Sweet. Sweet. I'm helping someone out. I love it. I love it. I love it. That's why
I like the non-destructive.
Right.
Part
that's,
of it.
That's the thing. You can jump right back in there and just redo it, because a lot of people get stuck with, they'll apply a filter and then they're like, oh no, this is way too much. So they reach up for this undo menu,
yeah,
and they're doing control Z a gazillion times, and you don't really have to. There's also another trick. Let's say, all right, so we had that filter there and it's set to 18 or what have you, and just clicked okay, and we wanted to do a new level, a new layer. So let's say we'll copy this layer. This is just a bad illustration. I just want to show you the function of that actual layer menu. Because I already had it set and you wanted to do another version of that radial blur, you can just go back to the filter menu and it's going to set the last blur that you used. And if you wanted to just use this keyboard shortcut, this Alt Control F or Alt Command F on a Mac. And if I click that, it's going to do the exact same blur with the same parameter. So what's going to happen is this is going to wig out like that. And you notice it's not at the extreme value of like 20 that we had earlier. It's more like 12, 15. Okay. But that's just another little tip when you're dealing with the filters. Know that you can do smart objects and know that you can just go back and do that keyboard shortcut if you're just going to replicate the same filter for another part of the image.
Yeah. It's great for a lot of us who are afraid of commitment. Committing to the
afraid of commitment.
Yeah.
It's so funny. So funny. All right. Before we get out of here, I want to take a few seconds to promote another show here on twit.tv. That is Hands on Tech. If you've been noticing this other little device on the set here, this is a laptop that I've been playing around with. And I recently reviewed another laptop. It was a gaming laptop, and I had a lot of fun with that thing. But this one is a little bit different. This is an HP X360. I'm going to share more details about it, but just going to give you a tease. It comes with this. Ooh, I can't wait. Has a little stylus to come with it. So that'll allow me to hop into Photoshop and Lightroom and do some creative stuff with the stylus, just as I would with any other Wacom tablet. But it's already built into the screen. But subscribe to Hands On Tech. That's twit.tv/hot. That's twit.tv/hot. Subscribe there and you'll be able to catch that review as soon as it's done. Like I said, I just finished the Predator review. That is a massive gaming laptop, but I had a lot of fun with it. So go ahead and check that one out as well. All right. So that's going to do it for this week's episode of Hands On Photography. I really do appreciate y'all hanging out with us each and every week. I love doing this show. I love being able to empower you to get out there and just go shoot with whatever camera that you have, to sit down and do some post-processing with whatever application you have, because that's how I learned. I just got up, went out and did it and taught myself all of these different tips and tricks and tools. And you can do the exact same thing, folks. It's nothing to it. Just take some grit and some persistence and you're just going to continue to grow in this craft. I promise you. Just keep working at it. Again, be sure to hit the subscribe button and share these episodes out with all of your friends and family and those like-minded people that are interested in the world of photography. And feel free to just reach out and just shoot me an email if you want. If you have any questions or some images you like critiqued, that is hop@twit.tv via email. Or you can just tag me on Twitter and Instagram. I am @_Pruitt on those wonderful social media channels. And also, make sure you join our Twits community. That's our online forums. I hop in there almost every day just to see what's going on. It's a pretty big community of folks in the Twit Army. And we're talking about all of the different shows that's happened during the week or just talking about some random stuff. You know, even like stuff like the LastPass event that we had last night here in downtown San Francisco. A lot of fun, a lot of fun conversations, and a lot of people just geeking out and having a good time. All right. Okay, folks, we will see you next Thursday here at LastPass Studios. Appreciate all the support. Get on out there, create and dominate. I'll catch you next time. See you.